We've all had those chaotic weeknights where dinner needs to happen now, but you open the fridge to find zero protein on hand. Story of my life. I used to gamble on last-minute grocery runs, only to end up with bland, overpriced meat or spoiled leftovers. That all changed when I stocked up my freezer with Omaha Steaks. It's like having a trusted butcher and gourmet food shop right at home. Omaha Steaks has spent over 100 years perfecting its craft through meticulous aging and vacuum-sealed individual packaging. Last week, I seared up their ribeye burgers, and the flavor, oh my gosh, and the tenderness beat any steakhouse burger I've had without the steakhouse prices. Beyond incredible steaks and juicy burgers, they've got chicken, seafood, sides, and desserts ready to go whenever you need them. If you've never tried them, their burger perfection flight is the ultimate way to start. You get 20, yes, 20 premium steak burgers crafted from 5 distinct cuts of steak: filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin for just $79.99. Try their burger perfection flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code HOTDOG. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code HOTDOG for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
We are big, big fans of Chicken of the Sea here on the podcast and all over Mythical because their packets are, well, they're basically my little chef's secret weapon. They're portable, they're flavorful, they're super high in protein, and you can use them in so many different ways. I cannot tell you how many dinners I have made at home using Chicken of the Sea tuna. You mix tuna with any kind of leftovers you got in your fridge and you're gonna have a great time. And there are definitely a few stashed around the office, you know, for my emergency snack moments, of which there are many, and especially when I'm running between meetings or heading into a workout after work, that dill tuna salad packet is perfect for those moments. Chicken of the Sea has something for everyone, including an expansive portfolio of tuna, salmon, sardines, and more available in cans and portable packets. Whether you need an on-the-go snack or you want to add protein to a meal, their wild-caught tuna and salmon packets are convenient, flavorful, and nutrient-packed. They're easy to throw in a bag, perfect for camping or office lunches, and each has at least 11 grams of protein and 100 calories or less. Many come with omega-3s, and the flavor options are so fun. They got the dill tuna salad, the Old Bay, and now, this is my favorite, the Frank's Red Hot Light Tuna, which gives you the perfect blend of heat and flavor. To learn more about Chicken of the Sea, visit chickenofthesea.com and look out for their products sold in-store and online nationwide at major retailers. Try Chicken of the Sea's new Frank's Red Hot Tuna Packet today.
Ah, God dang it, how'd the seaweed get my dang ice cream again?
Great question.
This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What?
Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiti. Your voice is a little hoarse today.
It's a little hoarse. I was...
You little horse.
Not to brag, I was at Smash Mouth and Sugar Ray last night at the OC Fair. That's
what?
Right. Pacific Amphitheater, sold out show. I could... listen, I'm me. I couldn't even get Primo tickets.
Josh. Not to be weird, but I was listening to Smash Mouth. You said you went on Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday. This is fresh last night, recording on a Monday.
Saturday, I was listening to Smash Mouth all morning.
Really?
While getting like my
Which
day
album?
Ready. It was just Smash Mouth mix.
Greatest hits.
So
Greatest hits, yeah.
That song, Walking on the Sun, was the first one. I'm like,
Tell
classic
what,
rock and roll.
I was talking to the people that I was at the concert with about Smash Mouth and how disorienting it is to see them live.
Okay.
Because... One, their singer, Steve Harwell, passed away in 2023.
That's right, R.I.P.
R.I.P. They replaced him with a guy named, I believe his name is Zach Good, who was the singer for Ghoulspoon that had one song in the Twisted Metal 4 soundtrack that I recognized. Mm. But anyways, he does a really great job.
Sure.
Singing then, but it's already a different singer, so it already almost seems a little bit like a Smash Mouth cover band.
Right.
A couple of Smash Mouth's biggest hits sound like they're covers, but they're not. Like Walking on the Sun.
I'm a Believer
is
a cover of, I believe, a Monkey song?
I think so. Some old song.
Yeah,
Walking
yeah.
on the Sun sounds like it would be a cover, but it's not.
Have you heard the lyrics of that song? It's pretty bleak.
It makes sense. That's from their first album where they were like a pretty hard skate ska band, and they were fun. But anyways, and then while they're actually playing a live show, sometimes they'll just do other covers
That's cool.
of their friends' bands just for funsies. So you can like... It's almost like you're watching a Smash Mouth cover band playing Smash Mouth covers of covers. It was kind of disorienting. But then,
okay, Sugar
to
Ray.
Bring us all back to reality, Mark McGrath of Sugar Ray.
So hot.
One, still so hot. He's like 60 years old.
Who cares?
He is still just the best front man in music right now. Mark McGrath comes out there. I've now seen him multiple times, once at Epcot, once at the OC Fair. And
wow.
He comes out, one, I think he went to CDM High School, Corona Del Mar, uh-huh. So he was, you know, big hometown show for him. Everything I've seen from this man on stage, he is, like, commanding but grateful. He's, like, irreverent but still takes his music seriously. The biggest thing is, like, they don't apologize for being Sugar Ray.
What?
There's never, like,
In my household, we listen to Sugar Ray.
Same. It makes you happy,
great
man.
Great music. It's pure joy music.
Yeah.
Why not listen to it?
I agree.
Endorphins.
He comes out there and Mark McGrath absolutely crushes it. He just, like...
Does he still have frosted tips?
Still has frosted tips. Ugh. He came out in, like, a kind of, like, white tuxedo with, like, you know, unbuttoned shirt.
I can see it already.
Like, Rose LaPel, just pure sex appeal, baby.
You had fun?
So much fun.
OC Fair?
So much fun. OC Fair. Yeah, I will say the food, I think when I was younger, the limits of deep frying seemed more interminable. And then now I'm like, maybe we've gone... too far.
Yeah.
Maybe we didn't need to wrap the churro in bacon then deep fry it. That kind of made everything worse.
Did you have any ice cream treats while you were at the OC Fair?
Great segue. I did not, but I can't wait to eat them today.
Okay. Well, I went to the pier recently and I had Dippin' Dots and I was like,
oh, hell yeah.
Wasn't that good?
I think, okay, that's a good segue because the reason we're doing this, talking about seaweed and ice cream and additives and all that.
Mm-hmm. And just ice cream in general.
Ice cream in general. Yeah. I was eating Haagen-Dazs ice cream.
Which we have here today.
We have here. And just from the taste alone, I was like, this is the best vanilla ice cream in
the
market right now.
Like, this is your
fan. And I never, to me, Haagen-Dazs was kind of the fancy brand growing up. But as I got older.
Yeah, because it has an umlaut.
Has an umlaut in it. Also, this is a completely made up. Like, the umlauts don't even exist in any language where they are in this. This is started by, I believe, two Polish Jews in Brooklyn in the 60s who just made up a fun Eastern European-ish sounding name to make it sound fancy. This is like the fancy brand when I was growing up. But then now it became this weird mid-level brand because there's like the $12 pints, right? The McConnell's, the Jenny's,
the Van Leeuwen's,
all that.
Sure.
But then retasting Haagen-Dazs as an adult with, frankly, the expertise and knowledge that I have now, like, this is the best ice cream ever made. And then I checked the ingredients label on Haagen-Dazs and I was shocked.
Like five things, right?
Read them. Read the ingredients label on Haagen-Dazs.
I'll read it for you.
Read it.
Did you ever go to the Haagen-Dazs? They used to have Haagen-Dazs stores. I haven't seen a Haagen-Dazs store in like 10, 15 years.
Oh, you haven't been to downtown Burbank.
Oh, I really haven't. Okay, so the ingredients in Haagen-Dazs are cream, skim milk, cane sugar, egg yolks, ground vanilla beans, vanilla extract. I can pronounce all those words.
Here's the thing. I think like science is good. I think there's food additives that have made things better. When it comes to ice cream, they make the ice cream taste worse.
The additives make the ice cream taste worse.
I can taste, if there's an ice cream, particularly, I'm excited to get into the Breyers Extra Creamy Vanilla, because typically when an industrial brand says extra creamy, what they actually mean is they've put more locust gum and guar gum and gelatin gum in there.
Well, you do know that this isn't even considered ice cream. It's a frozen dairy dessert.
God dang it.
It doesn't even meet the requirements to be an ice cream, a sorbet, a sherbet. None of that.
Yeah, frozen dairy dessert.
Yep, and there's no real like distinction of what makes a frozen dairy dessert. A frozen dairy dessert is more of like exclusionary. Like if it doesn't fit into any of these boxes, we just call it a frozen dairy dessert or frozen dairy product. Kind of like American cheese.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense. But I was absolutely floored by how simple Haagen-Dazs' label was. And not for the fact that any sort of health claim or whatever, but simply for the fact that this is the best ice cream. The texture is the best. The flavor is the best. And I wondered why any of these other ice creams are even using all of these stabilizing agents and all this because everything in here is a natural preservative, right?
Yeah,
sugar is a natural preservative. Fat's a natural preservative. The damn freezer preserves it.
Right.
You know, how is Haagen-Dazs, which... This isn't a small batch artisanal ice cream company that's doing this.
No.
This is on the biggest scale that ice cream has. And, like, the cost, I mean, a little bit of shrinkflation, this ain't even a damn pint anymore. It's 14 ounces, rats. But, like, you know, this isn't a $13 pint. You know what I mean?
It's five bucks.
It's, like, five, $6.
Yeah.
How the hell are they doing this, and why is everybody else doing it?
I'm not sure, but I will say this. I do think if you have the best ingredients in the world, it doesn't matter if your process is trash. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think they have a proprietary way of making this ice cream, so it doesn't need all of those additives.
No, I think other companies are merely trying to...
I like how you play with your ice cream.
Well, I'm trying to, like, see the texture of it.
It's a beautiful texture. It has that, like, beautiful rippling effect that we love in ice cream.
Taste this damn ice cream. It's so vanilla forward.
So perfect.
It's so perfect.
Mm.
The only thing I think it could use is a tiny bit of salt, which I don't think they add at all.
It's pretty gorgeous.
The texture, it's not super whipped and airy. There's some that you could mm-hmm. confuse for creaminess, but mm-hmm. in actuality, it's just
that's gelato.
Trapped air, which makes it cheaper because it's lighter.
Right.
You know, like everything that Häagen-Dazs has done to me is perfect. It's indicative of a small mom and pop company. The crazy thing, too, is they don't lead with it. Häagen-Dazs
they don't have to anymore.
Häagen-Dazs
maybe they
could.
Will.
I think that I've seen them obviously be like, hey, we believe in making the best ice cream, so we don't put any artificial things in it. But Häagen-Dazs could lead with, like, no preservatives, no gums, no whatever. It's nowhere on the packaging, right?
I don't think – well, maybe because they make enough money, they don't have to change their packaging. They don't have to change their slogans, their
mottos. It might just be if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Häagen-Dazs
been
doing
it. I think that's what it is.
If they wanted to. A lot of this is set in this a current paradigm where, like, people are really afraid of food additives.
Totally.
And a lot of that is being spurred by, like, RFK Jr. and the Maha movement.
Of course.
Right? You know, you'll see – I remember seeing – I had a really great brand of tortilla chips, best mm-hmm. tortilla chips I've ever had, tremendously Maha-coated.
Mm.
Right? Literally, they have an entire thing on their website about how seed oils are the root of most modern disease. And I'm like, that's a crazy thing to say and just not true at all.
It's microplastics.
It's microplastics.
It's endocrine disruptors.
It's getting prayer out of schools.
What, out of schools?
Prayer.
Oh, prayer.
Prayer back in schools and no seed oils.
I thought you said pears. I'm like,
pears
why? I'm like, pears are pretty cool, man.
I think the way would be a better country if more kids ate more pears during school. Man, I love a pear.
That part.
Dude, I get back to eating pears, dude.
That part.
But this chip brand, right? They're like, we only use three ingredients, like tallow, salt, and corn. Do you know how many ingredients Tostitos uses?
I would say two of those.
It's the same. It's the same, except instead of tallow, they fry it in seed oils, which was just the healthier version that we thought for years of something like tallow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was never...
But it's not like these chip brands are using a bunch of crazy sciencey things. It's like, no, the best way to, like, make a chip is just kind of, like, grinding the corn, frying it, and putting salt on it.
I think I'm a unique case in where, like, seed oils never freaked me out or, like was weird for me or like was a healthier option for me because I grew up in a kosher home and you can't mix milk and dairy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why seed oils were always so prevalent in my house. It's really good, huh?
Why not just cook with schmaltz?
You know how hard it is to make schmaltz?
Schmaltz is so annoying to make.
It's so annoying
to make. And it's hard. It's expensive to buy.
It's grimness, right?
Grimness, yeah. You make a chicken chicharrones.
Yeah, and then you put a few slices of onion in there too, huh?
Yeah. Schmaltz, though, listen. If all of the like beef tallow, you know, hardos just switched to cooking with schmaltz, I'd be down because I think schmaltz is the best tasting cooking fat, dude. Like fried potatoes and schmaltz.
I made duck schmaltz for matzo balls with a duck soup and it was really
duck schmaltz.
Good.
I just think
chicken
like the cooking with duck fat was like a big thing for our homemade duck schmaltz hits different.
Yeah,
but like rendered duck fat like
was a big deal.
It was a big deal. Kind of now I don't think I'd ever reach for it. Right, it was a fun novelty like 10 years ago.
I would never if I have a bunch of like cooking oils in front of me, the first. Like oil or like cooking fat I would use is butter always first.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. It would have been duck fat. It would have been duck fat.
Yeah, I kind of got tired. You kind of realize that like pound for pound, you have duck fat roasted potatoes, butter roasted potatoes, even like a peanut oil or like a drip, like something. Like the duck fat doesn't really stick out that much.
I mean, it gives you that like
it's
poultry
kind of
funk.
It's almost like a sweetness
to it.
It's
a sweet poultry funk.
Yeah,
I
dig it.
But I will always reach for butter nowadays.
You go to first Kucha, get the duck fat fries.
Oh, those man. So remember the good old days of going to Wurst Kucha?
Oh, dude. They
had really good
place
fries.
In L.A., Beer Garden. It was a moment in time. They had, like, alligator sausage.
They had the coolest sausages in the world. What are you doing now?
I want to look at the Breyers
extra
creamy frozen
vanilla.
Dessert.
You want to read?
See how this tastes. Oh. It's got a kind of mayonnaise-y consistency.
It does. It looks like whipped mayo.
Dude.
Oh, my God.
Back to back, eating this versus Häagen-Dazs, this tastes like you're eating a damn tub of shaving cream.
It tastes like marshmallow fluff.
It tastes like marshmallow fluff because it is. Because.
With so much air.
And again, not making any health claims. This tastes bad. Skim milk, cane sugar, cream, corn syrup, Less than 2% of whey mono and diglycerides, guar gum, carabine gum, tarragum, natural flavor, annatto for color because
tarragum.
Because they didn't put any damn egg yolks in it, so they have to use annatto. There's, see that tiny, this isn't even like very like colored at all. But
no.
Whatever color, it coats
but
your
it
mouth
has,
in fat.
It has a little bit of a yellow tinge. I'd say it's a cream color. It's a cream color. It's not the color of cream, it's a cream color.
It's time for Overrated or Overcharged, brought to you by Klarna, where we take one of the most hyped foods on the internet and figure out whether it's actually good or whether you're just paying for the hype.
All right, Josh, before we get into our debate, what's the most you've ever paid for a single food item, and do you regret it?
Yeah, I bought a $400 steak once.
What?
Yeah, it was like at a restaurant. It was after it was after my first book deal, and I was I was still in a lot of debt from school, but I was like, I want to be a big fancy boy and I want to go to the nicest steakhouse and get the nicest steak, cuz I've never been able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally like got so much anxiety while eating the steak.
Were you alone?
No, I was there with my failing relationship, my girlfriend at the time. And then she was like, why'd you spend all this money? And I was like, I'm trying to be an adult! And the steak didn't even taste that good, because at some point, I think steaks, they kind of top out.
They have
in terms
a ceiling.
Of how good.
Yeah,
you can go to the grocery store and get yourself a set, like a $60 steak. That's going to be about the best thing in the world that you eat. And so I regret that. I consider that tremendously overrated, and I feel like I learned my lesson.
Wow. I bought a bottle of wine that was like way too expensive.
At a restaurant? No.
I bought a bottle of wine at a specialty wine store, and then I popped the cork, and let me tell you, it tasted just like Two Buck Chuck.
Yeah.
It was not that great. I didn't understand it, didn't like it.
Uh-huh.
Pretty much poured it in some Coco Vaughn and called it a day. I didn't even enjoy a glass.
Oh, that's tough, man.
It happens, man.
That's the thing. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to debate about tinned fish, which is now deemed a hot girl food, and it can vary wildly in price. Nicole, in your opinion, is tinned fish worth it, overrated, or overcharged?
Well, as the hot girl of a hot dog is a sandwich, I would say that it's worth it.
I'm runner-up hot girl.
That's very true. I love the flavor of a good tinned fish.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if it's a sardine, if it's wild-caught tuna, if it's salmon, if it's smoked trout. I just love the flavor of a really, really good tinned fish. And I like it on its own, and even when it's paired with like in a pasta. I love it on crackers with like a little bit of jam, a little bit of cheese, a little bit of capers with like a nice sardine. I'm a tin fish girly, and I think I always will be.
Tin fish is overrated.
No.
Canned fish is underrated. They're different
because
if you want it to be fancy, you call it a tin fish. Meanwhile, sardines aren't tin fish. Sardines are canned fish.
Awesome.
I went to the official Sardine Cannery Museum on Cannery Row. This is true, at the Monterey Bay Aquarium. It was so cool. They have a whole exhibit on sardine canning. But it's like back then, like when all these brands were created, it wasn't about, you know, some like cool girl aesthetic. It was, they needed a way to make the sardines last to feed people, so they put them in damn cans. So I think it's a delicious, you know, good product. But the fact that I've been to a restaurant, another expensive thing that I bought was a $60 can of eels. And
I
got
tricked. We
did that together. We know where it was. I'm not going to name them.
No,
But anyways, they tricked me into spending $60 on a can of eels that weren't even the eels that I wanted. I wanted baby eels.
They gave you adult eels?
I don't remember the adult eels. I sound weird. We'd been drinking. I sound like a Victorian prince. I wanted the baby eels in cans. You gave me adult eels, you fool.
Josh, you talked about the things you don't like to splurge on, but what are things food related that you do like to splurge on?
Oh man, you know what I love? This is so silly, but it means a lot to me. Expensive fruit.
Oh yeah.
The good apples cost three times as much as the less good apples. And that is dead ass worth it in my lifestyle, right? Like I eat fruit every single day. Mm. It means a lot to me to be able to have something that I really love.
Right.
And frankly, like I save on a lot of other places in the grocery store. Like
sure.
We hardly eat beef at home because it's so dang expensive.
Right.
But yeah, I would gladly buy the Cosmic Crisp apples or the Sugar Kiss melons. Hot dang. Sugar Kiss, bro, get out of here. What do you spend your money on?
A good snack. Let me tell you, any sort of packaged good that has that little certain something, like if it's truffle salt almonds or if it's like Parmigiano Reggiano crisps, I love those fancy little snacks that just make your day a little bit brighter.
Yeah.
I'm all about that. Do you have something you deem worth your money? Great. Klarna's Pay in 4 lets you split it into four, a smart way to say yes to the splurges that actually earn it.
Klarna isn't anti-splurge. It means knowing which splurges earn it and which don't. With Klarna, it's your money on your side. That's Klarna, K-L-A-R-N-A. California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license, NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points. Limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
This is like really,
calling this ice cream is rude, which is why they didn't call it ice cream.
No, agreed. But like, it's insane to me that Breyers and Häagen-Dazs are, they're treated as contemporaries, right?
Yes.
I would have those two as the closest contemporaries.
Mm, you don't think Ben & Jerry's is in there?
I would say Ben & Jerry's and Häagen-Dazs are probably closer than Breyers.
But whoever reaches for Ben & Jerry's vanilla, anybody?
I don't know that I've ever had.
Ben & Jerry's is all about the fun, the additives, the fish food, the half-baked.
Cherry Garcia.
Yeah, it's all about fun. And you know, Ben & Jerry's vanilla, I don't understand it. I don't think they should make it anymore. Do you know what I mean?
I've never had it in my life.
Yeah, I've never had it before. Why would I?
Ingredients, cream, skim milk, liquid sugar. This is interesting. Sugar water. That's something. Liquid sugar is easier to transport and easier like on a – that was one of the advantages that corn syrup had over sugar back, especially in the 70s, was because it was easier
cheaper.
To literally get from one drum into another. The
and
way
it was
that
cheaper.
Solid slow. It was cheaper. Yeah, yeah. It was cheaper because of like a sugar beet – a sugar beet harvest failure. In
is
the
there carrageenan in this?
And there is our friend I feel like it's carrageenan.
Carrageenan? Oh, yeah. Is it genin
There's
or genin?
There's guar gum and carrageenan. Otherwise,
no locust
everything
gum?
Else.
No locust gum?
Just guar gum. Why are the other ones using eight different gums and they're only using one gum?
This flavor is not doing it for me. Their vanilla's off. Their ratio of vanilla's off.
It's not bad. It's much better than Breyers.
It's much better.
Taste it next to Häagen-Dazs.
I will. The vanilla bean of Häagen-Dazs is more vanilla-y, but the mouthfeel of the Ben & Jerry's is really good.
I think, to me, like, back-to-back, I don't think anything can touch Häagen-Dazs. The Ben & Jerry's isn't bad, but, like...
It's not that great of a base. You know what's the greatest base of all?
Hmm.
Cold Stone Sweet Cream.
It's so funny, Cold Stone Sweet Cream.
It's so good.
When I was younger, I was like, this must be fancy. Because it's not vanilla, it's sweet cream.
They're not
that's
resting
fancier.
On
and then,
vanilla.
And then now I realize that, no, that's just, they're just not using the good flavor of vanilla.
They're just using...
Which one? The history, I'm reading a great book by Sarah Lohman called Eight Flavors.
Uh-huh.
About the history of eight different flavors that defined American cuisine.
Oh my gosh, is dulce de leche in there?
No.
Caramel?
It's not really like a flavor.
Is caramel's a flavor?
Caramel's a flavor. No, but vanilla is.
Wait,
and
I'm
even
sad.
Down to...
What about butter pecan?
It's not about ice cream. It's about like... Actual, like, on, like, an industrial, like, agricultural, cultural level, you know, what flavors define it. So something like, you know, a coffee, you know, how to define America. Something like vanilla, you know. But anyways, vanilla and the history of ice cream are, like, intrinsically related to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because of, like, Thomas Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
He came back and really loved ice cream. And in the Virginia Housewife cookbook, Mary Randolph wrote, like, a ton of different ice cream recipes, including vanilla. And one of them was also oyster cream.
I would eat – I've had oyster ice cream. I actually made oyster ice cream one time.
You made oyster ice cream?
I made oyster white chocolate ice cream because I used to work at a chocolate store that used to have edible crushed pearls and oyster inside of a ganache of a truffle. And we made an ice cream out of it. And it was really good.
These are a lot closer than I thought they would be. You know, despite the fact that like this has
– the flavor is similar.
Yeah,
Häagen-Dazs has a stronger vanilla flavor.
It does.
But the mouthfeel of the Ben & Jerry's is really, really, really good.
So I think I like an icier ice cream.
And do you think the Ben & Jerry's is icier?
No, I think the Häagen-Dazs is icier. And I
because
think
that
the thing that
the...
carrageenan or carrageenan gets you, the thing that the gums get you, is that creaminess. There's some like, there's some middle ground between this just horrifying shaving cream paste of Breyers.
It was crazy.
And then this Häagen-Dazs, which is like all natural ingredients. This is how you would make ice cream at home, right?
Yes.
You would add... literally cream, milk, sugar, egg, and vanilla. Like this
right.
is the most basic ice cream recipe. Same recipe that Thomas Jefferson would have made
it's a perfect,
250 years
ago. It's a perfect recipe.
But
industrialization. Yeah. I mean, industrialization and like, you know, working in CPG and stuff, you have to save money where you can. So it's probably cheaper to add your guar gums.
Have
and
to or like, you know, to just kind of like increase corporate profits because they're owned by Unilever, right?
That one.
Yeah.
The second one.
But
to
also,
save money.
I think Ben & Jerry's is a good example of, like, where those gums could actually help you in terms of texture.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they carry the flavor longer on your mouth and it doesn't dissipate as fast.
I still prefer Häagen-Dazs.
Yeah.
But like Ben & Jerry's, this actually is a lot better than,
you were anticipating.
Yeah. Because in their normal ice creams, like there's normally so little ice cream.
It's just stuff.
You know what I mean? It's like 80% stuff, 20% ice cream.
When I was a kid, my dream was to be a flavor developer for Ben & Jerry's. Did you
know
that?
Oh, man. No. What would your flavors have been that you developed?
Oh, my gosh. I really wanted to do a peanut butter and jelly, but the jelly be little globs of like grapes.
Nice. Globs of grapes.
And that's what it would be called, probably. Globs of grapes. Ice cream for bears. Now, you want to talk about Maha coated? You want to talk about carnivore coated? This is literally so Maha coated.
Damn right it is.
I wonder if this was on Shark Tank. Something tells me it was.
I first bought ice cream for bears.
You've bought this before? It's my first time trying it.
Mm-hmm. I love ice cream for bears. At Ice Cream for Bears, we believe that processed foods are...
What does it say?
Oh. At Ice Cream for Bears, we believe that processed foods are a departure from our wild roots.
Mm. Free birth movement.
This ice cream is part of the free birthing movement. Like, it probably is. There is probably a correlation between people who believe in free birthing and eating this ice cream. The reason I bought this ice cream is because I love honey.
Because it has a bear on it.
I love honey. And also, like, yeah, if you want to talk about, like, our not necessarily wild roots, because we really did domesticate honey production for a long time. Honey is, like, the closest thing we have to just, like, a nature's miracle drug.
Right.
And Dr. Mike Barshavsky made a great video where he asked a bunch of medical doctors what natural remedies they believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally had to create a honey supercut because so many of them were just like, oh, honey. Like, it's antimicrobial. You can use it to you can use it to, like – inoculate yourself to local allergens, right?
Mm-hmm. Because you're trying different honeys.
Yeah. It's just like it's an incredible product, and I think it tastes delicious. All honeys taste different. That's so cool, dude. Yeah, like going to a farmer's market and taste a bunch of different honeys.
You ever got honey sticks as a kid?
Yeah, of course.
I love honey sticks. I would take the honey stick and then I would use it as a straw to suck up cold milk.
But that's the only ingredients are milk, cream, raw honey, which is, does that mean unpasteurized?
I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. Isn't that why you can't feed babies honey?
Yeah, they get botulism.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's from raw honey or regular honey. It's just botulism, I think, lives in.
Weird.
Yeah. It also says on their website, don't feed to children under one, so.
Whoa.
Yeah. The honey flavor in here is cloying, and I hate it.
Do you not like it?
I don't. The first bite, like, sucker punched me in the face.
Yeah, I think I just really love honey.
I think you just like being sucker punched in the face with flavor.
But this is an interesting, like, next evolution in
ice cream.
Ice cream. Also, the funny thing, I don't know how. This feels very airy in a way that I don't kind of love.
It's oddly velvety.
But it's also kind of icy.
It's icy in some parts and velvety in others. Right?
It is, yeah.
Strange. But
this only has, like, 2/3 the calories of the other ones, which...
Why?
All ice cream is just kind of, it's just some combination of like fat and sugar and
but
deliciousness.
Like, isn't honey and sugar like the, like,
yeah,
same,
it's the
caloric
same,
breakdown?
Same caloric density, but for this, yeah, per container, this is
maybe
14
there's
ounces.
Maybe there's more air whipped into
I
this.
I think there's more air, but what's interesting is there's no artificial gums or anything.
Mm.
So they must have just figured out a way to churn it hella hard to like really whip air into that dairy.
Maybe there's more.
And I wonder if the honey also helps because honey. Sugar is, right, like a solid, and like honey's a liquid.
Well, it's...
In its natural state, right?
Well, I don't think so.
What?
I think sugar starts out as a liquid, right? That's derived from like beets or
but
canes.
But not, I'm saying not the, you're, say you're an ice cream company and you're using cane sugar.
Right.
Unless Ben & Jerry specified liquid sugar, so that might be different.
There's liquid sugar, there's invert sugar, there's corn syrup, there's so many different kinds of sugar.
But, like, I think something like this, using cane sugar, like, they're using a
sugar cane juice that they then
evaporate. Yeah, in process until the molasses is out of it, whatever.
Pure white.
The stuff you buy in a bag.
Yeah.
C&H, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, C&H. But, like, adding the
predatory.
Extra liquid. What?
I think they, like, had, like, a few lawsuits about
it. C&H had lawsuits?
Probably.
Oh, wow.
Weird.
About like sugarcane production and stuff.
But anyways, I wonder if the honey, you know, like spun honey?
Yeah,
like
whipped
that
honey?
Whipped spun
the
honey?
The whipped white honey?
Yeah, I wonder if like, I don't know, if that plays anything to do with the way you like spin honey. But this feels very rich.
Again,
just like
it all, I'm telling you, all of these like Nouveau ice creams, like what's that one you used to be obsessed with, the protein one?
Oh, Halo Top?
Like Halo Top has like a proprietary way that it mixes its ice cream so it's more familiar to the ice creams that we know, so you're not going to be like, ugh, I hate this. Mm. You know what I mean? I don't like the flavor of that. I'm so sorry, Josh.
I love ice cream for bears. It, like, reeks of dairy, too.
Logan has something to say.
The lawsuit is kind of interesting. The most notable one was regarding foul odors from its facility.
Mm.
The suit alleged that the smells diminished property values and stopped locals That's from crazy. Opening windows,
oh.
backed by over 350 odor complaints and state violation notices
Stinky.
From the factory, I guess.
This is a sugar factory?
Yeah.
What is the bad odor at a sugar factory?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
It was like when the sriracha factory was poisoning towns.
Yeah, remember that?
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Wow. What do you think the evolution of ice cream says about us as a people?
I think we're trying. I unfortunately agree with the packaging of ice cream for bears. I think there's a loud subsect of people that really want to get back to their roots, and they don't want to.
Their roots?
I don't even think people know. Can I tell you something? I don't think anyone even knows where their quote-unquote roots are from. I think they're just tired of the microplastics and the macroplastics and the endocrine disruptors and the plastic and everything and all that stuff. And they just want to eat food that won't make them die.
Hold on.
I really do. I do think people are starting to be more conscious consumers. Or, again, there's a loud minority that are talking about it and making videos and articles about it, about how impassioned they are.
How much do you think this is driven by, like, actual changing tastes versus needing to hit different profit margins?
So I think that consumer packaged goods have been engineered to taste good to everybody, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're supposed to be delicious to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, every kid, every adult that you see that wants to buy something off the shelves. So I don't think consumer products are going to change necessarily unless there's a loud minority that's really asking for change and is very persistent about flavors changing and the way that things are produced are changing.
There's a part of me that, like, has to believe that like, the good products will, like, win out. Like, I think the reason that you know what I mean?
What do you mean by good products?
I'm saying ones that, like, taste good versus ones that taste bad.
Okay.
You know, something like Häagen-Dazs, I think it survived for so long because it always tastes good. It tastes better than the other ice creams.
Yeah. I think against these four, I do think it is the most delicious ice cream in terms of flavor, in terms of mouthfeel, in terms of ingredient breakdown.
I know people, though, that really like the chemically stuff. I know people that really like the extra creamy quarts of ice cream.
Like the ones you get at, like, birthdays that are in the plastic tub.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, those people aren't here.
I think there's always going to be a time and place.
Yeah, well, people love the idea of fake sugar, too. I mean, I always have a stevia in my coffee before I start my day.
That's a fair point.
You know what I mean? Like, again, these are things that are engineered to make taste good.
It is funny how ice cream is either getting simpler, like ice cream for bears, or it's getting infinitely more complicated. There's an ice cream brand called Natty. I think it was $14 for a pint.
You're kidding me.
It was
it's called Natty ice cream.
Yeah, I think it's got like a Greek statue on it.
Dude, ice cream is literally just because there's so much space in the ice cream industry that you can just slap a title on pint and people will buy
it. It's got like a sexy Greek statue on it.
Oh my gosh, it's the new protein ice cream. And Natty, of course, is from Natty or Not, Natural or Not, about bodybuilders using, what is it called? Steroids?
David's making ice cream now.
Oh, now David's making ice cream?
There's another one called Frozen One. They're making more ice cream. Halo Top. And protein ice cream used to be for ladies. Now it's not. It's for dudes.
Was protein ice cream really geared towards women?
Halo Top had a very, I feel like, feminine branding.
Really? I found it so asexual.
Really?
I found it so non-binary. I never even considered the gender of the ice creams. I never did. I just thought it was, like, beautiful and, like, poppy. But I never thought that as femme. No. Yeah. Never, ever. Oh, Ignored. Well, now that I'm looking at the Ignored
image. Well, they're rebranded. It seems like they went from, you know, they went to something more, like, I agree, like, super poppy in their branding.
It's very similar to poppy.
but looking at, like, Halo Top versus
Natty,
something like Natty, right?
You're right. Natty is definitely geared towards more of the bodybuilder male community because of the language it's using and the imagery. 100%.
What about protein pints for sure? That's dudes all day. It looks like a construction tape.
Well, yeah,
What about Frozen One?
Frozen One?
I had one of those the other day. 40 grams. I had that exact one, the apple pie
the
flavor.
The font is giving lovely ladies who lunch.
Nice. Nice, man. We need to gender all of our ice cream.
What is the gender
of the bear?
Well, that depends. Are you the man versus the bear? You're always going to choose the bear, right?
Oh, do you remember Mush?
Of course I remember Mush.
Mush was crazy. That was for dudes.
No, it wasn't.
Mush was for dudes. Mush was for boys.
I don't believe in gendering
Mush.
What about Breyers?
It's not that I believe in it. It's that they believed in it, dude. They had to call it Mush. Mush looked like an industrial freaking product, dude.
Mush is bubbly.
Dudes eat Mush.
Mush is – no, no,
mush
no.
Mush isn't bubbly. Mush
is mush booba.
Is industrial.
Mush is booba and you're kiki.
Yeah, maybe.
Mush is bubbly and round.
I think we should put all the ice creams on the Kinsey scale. I think that's how we heal as a nation.
If you want to beat the chaotic fall rush, August is the absolute best month to reset your personal style, and Quince makes it incredibly easy. They emphasize intentional shopping with premium, long-lasting clothing designed to be the most reliable items in your closet. They mastered the art of everyday staples that adapt to your day, like their ultra-soft organic cotton and exquisite Mongolian cashmere. My husband is obsessed with their camel-colored cashmere crew neck sweater. The exceptional softness and durable structure really surprised me, and it layers beautifully for a clean, sophisticated look. Since he is going into more of a professional field like law, he needs clothes that fit the bill, and Quince is just the thing that he needs to be professional, but comfortable. Upgrading your daily basics is seamless with their premium denim and sharp structured chinos starting at only $60. Quince delivers these luxury level fabrics at 50 to 80% less than standard brands by working directly with ethical factories and removing middlemen. Plus, they are a fantastic source for hotel grade bedding and durable travel bags. Upgrade your everyday. Go to quince.com/adios for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK too. That's quince.com/adios for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/adios. Did you see that story about the pop star who rented out an entire amusement park just for a casual Tuesday afternoon date? It sounds fun, but for those of us without a stadium tour budget, making our money work for us takes a little bit more strategy. That's exactly where Klarna comes in.
Klarna is your smarter, everyday money partner, and they operate on a simple principle. Money should work with people, not against them. They completely eliminate the usual financial chaos by putting your flexible payment options, automatic cashback, and reliable customer support all in one place.
When you use Klarna, you realize that being good with money isn't about being restrictive. It's about choosing tools that are actually good to you. It's smart because it's fair, and you can just breathe easy knowing your money is handled. It really is money on your side.
Download the Klarna app or head to Klarna.com. That's K-L-A-R-N-A.com, Klarna. California resident loans made or arranged pursuant to a California finance law license, NMLS number 1353190. Klarna balance account required to be eligible for cashback points, limitations, terms, and conditions apply.
I love traveling, but I always feel self-conscious when I can't speak the local language fluently. If you want to stop hesitating and start speaking with real confidence, you need to check out the brand new Rosetta Stone Sapphire app. This is their biggest launch in over a decade, combining their classic, research-backed immersion method with incredible new features. Forget boring grammar drills. You learn naturally through immersive visuals and audio, picking up the language intuitively. They just introduced chat missions, which completely changes the game by turning conversation practice into an interactive experience. You get dropped into everyday scenarios, like checking into a hotel or making dinner reservations, and complete specific goals while receiving instant supportive feedback. It gives you the real-world practice you need without any of the anxiety. And let me tell you, you don't need any extra anxiety. At least I don't. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. A Hot Dog is a Sandwich listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/hotdog to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/hotdog.
As a young adult, finding the right path to your future can feel overwhelming. It starts with YearUp United's tuition-free job training program, Career Pathways. If you're without a bachelor's degree, but you have a high school diploma or a GED, you can get skills first training to succeed in the industries you're passionate about, all while earning a weekly educational stipend to offset basic expenses.
From there, you'll have access to internships and hands-on experiences with Fortune 500 companies. And with Europe United's job placement services and personalized coaching and mentorship, you can put your knowledge, skills, and most importantly, confidence into practice.
So apply to Europe United today and take the first step towards achieving the career you want. Visit yearup.org to learn more.
All right, Nicole, I've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the universe. Time for a little segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casseroles.
All right, Logan, what do we got out there?
Hi, Josh, Nicole.
Hi.
This is Brianna from Massachusetts.
You're driving.
I was just listening to your episode on listener food hacks, and Josh had mentioned that he really likes a little bit of sweet in his savory. Yeah. And I have this debate with my boyfriend all the time. I'm very much a person that wants my sweet, like my dessert, to be salty. Like, I like ice cream with olive oil and salt on it. I want, if you know Salt and Straw ice cream, all of their flavors are phenomenal. I want my sweets to be as salty as possible.
Yeah,
but
agreed.
He's on the spectrum of savory is great sweet. But I don't like things like General Gao's chicken.
Mm.
I don't really like barbecue sauce. And so food for us is very difficult. So my opinion is like a casserole is that savory foods should not be sweet, and sweet foods are better savory.
Mm.
Thank you.
Insightful.
We need to clarify between savory and salty. Because one, there's no great definition of what savory means per se.
Mm-hmm.
But people who have
glutamate-y.
Yeah, like glutamic acid-y, yeah. Which is say like umami.
Yeah.
So that is as opposed to salt, something like the flavor of meat or the flavor of fermentation.
Mm-hmm.
So something like General Tso's chicken, right? That's a great example of something that has a ton of umami because there's soy in there that has umami, protein from chicken that has umami, and then you're adding the sweet to that salt plus umami. But then for desserts, I love like that Häagen-Dazs ice cream needed a pinch of salt. If I have – and I do this. If I have a Häagen-Dazs ice cream, I'll sprinkle a little bit of sea salt on it and I eat it. And then once I finish that layer, more sea salt. I think more desserts need to be seasoned to the brink of salt. But it's when you start adding savoriness. Like I don't let a miso chocolate chip cookie, God bless them, not my thing.
Sure.
You know, what else are people adding?
We talked about this recently.
Cheese in a dessert, like a cheddar cheese, apple pie. People are doing fun little combos with that.
It's not your thing.
No.
I mean, I think there's room for it. And if it's done properly without, you know, pushing the limits of it turning into like a miso soup cookie, I'm down.
Yeah.
But I don't agree with you because I love sweet meat. And I think there's a salty, I think savory and salty, like Josh said, are similar. They're not the same. So I think finding that balance can be really, really hard. And I hope you and your partner find middle ground because you can find it. I believe in you.
I hope they find it. I think they will.
You know, you can get two separate plates. You don't always have to share your food. Also, remember when they put olive oil and sea salt on ice cream at Byright Creamery?
Oh, I like an olive oil. I like an olive oil on an ice cream, though. I like bitter. That's the thing. I like bitter with,
I like bitter.
With sweet.
Me too.
It's a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of that bitter spiciness from it.
Mm-hmm. A good
like
green olive oil?
I think I like vegetable sweet. I think it's just umami that I don't like on sweet.
That's okay.
Because I love you can make a damn
sour.
Lettuce flavored ice cream. Make it a basil.
You like sour?
Thing. I like sour. I like
sour
like
with
fruity.
Sweet.
I like sour with sweet, you know? But I don't. Not always.
Mm.
Not always.
I love sour.
Like I love sorbet, but I'd rather. I don't think I love sour plus dairy.
Oh, okay.
So like a lemon ice cream? Just the zest for me, thanks. That's what I say.
Love that voicemail.
Thanks,
hi, I'm Icy from Wisconsin.
Cool name.
And I don't know if this is yucking someone's yum, so like Josh might agree with my friend with this, and I kind of don't, but I was explaining to a friend how I like to use chopsticks for Cheetos, just kind of like how Nicole does.
Yeah, yeah.
However, a friend of mine then chimed in and said, yeah, I get that. I like to eat ice cream with chopsticks.
Hell yeah.
And I kind of
gave
a look. And,
same.
I don't know if that was yucking his yum, but I kind of looked at him. I'm like, well, why is that? One of them has a functional purpose to grab the Cheetos without getting the dust on your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
a spoon does just as well with ice cream.
Much better.
So, like,
much better.
I don't know.
Spoon does a lot better than that.
I just wanted to share that. Love podcast.
Sometimes.
Thank you for loving the podcast.
Sometimes you're just a freaky little guy. He's a freaky little guy and wants to go to town with some chopsticks on an ice cream.
I think I might have done the chopstick thing, like, as a bit, because I love whenever my fingers get, like, Cheeto dusty, yeah. Actually, because after you're done with the Cheetos, you just, and it tastes better.
I agree with that.
So I think I might have done that, like, a few times, but it's not, like, my thing. Also, yeah, your friend's a little freak.
Friend's a weird little freak. Yeah, but like in
and
a way
I like
that.
I'm into it.
It's like me eating coleslaw with my hands, you know, just like I kind of just kind of weird little freak want to get in there with my hands.
Not a wet nap in sight, huh?
No, I'll go straight to the sink. And just power wash it all off.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I want to eat ice cream with chopsticks now. You know what I mean? Kind of running your tongue between the two tines. It's a fun time for me.
I try it.
I think ice cream tastes the best with a tiny little spoon.
Hey, I think ice cream tastes the best with a medium-sized spoon that has a nice round, a nice deep round situation.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Concave?
Convex?
It
depends which way you're holding the spoon.
Deep.
Because if you flip it, if it's upside down, then it's
concave. I don't want it to be upside down.
Convex if it's not. I'd say concave.
Maybe I like eating ice cream with a fork.
Yeah?
Maybe I do.
I don't think I like eating anything with a fork.
Oh,
I don't think there's anything that I like. Is there anything I like eating with a fork?
I don't know. I haven't looked at you eat in a long time, actually.
Wow.
Haven't observed you like that.
Wow.
But you know what? I will now. I'll observe closely.
I'm eating my lunch salad with chopsticks, tell you that much.
Okay, if you can't tell, there's a theme today.
What's it about?
I don't know what the theme
is. Ice cream.
Oh.
Oh!
I'm stupid.
What's going on, J. Cole? This is Claire from Minnesota.
J. Cole, that's awesome.
And I just wanted to share a absolutely revolutionary recipe that my mom just invented.
Oh,
so since summer is upon us, I don't know what reminds me more of a quintessential summer food than fresh sweet corn, especially being from the Midwest. So what my mother decided to do was basically take some heavy whipping cream, put it in a saucepan, boil it with sweet corn,
yeah.
Like fresh
corn.
She just puts
eyes rolled
it into
back
the cream
in my head
and boils it together. And she puts it into her ice cream maker with, like, a dash of salt and basically makes a sweet corn-flavored ice cream.
Oh, my God.
And, oh, my God, it is the most delicious thing I have ever put into my mouth.
Oh, my God.
And, by the way, another thing she puts on top, she made this homemade blackberry compote
and
put that on top of the sweet corn ice cream.
I got chills.
Oh, my freaking God, that was a flavor explosion in my mouth. You guys have to recreate this.
Okay.
Cherish it.
What do you want to do later? You want to do that?
I'm down, dude.
Let's do it.
I've been. Do we do? Hear me out, though. Do we do a traditional ice cream maker or a Ninja Creami?
I'll do what I think this person said. A traditional ice cream, huh?
You know, we've completely replaced all of our. We don't use the traditional ice cream maker at all in the kitchen now. We're just a Ninja Creami.
Oh, Creami
household.
House.
Any. Well, I'm saying even in like Mythical Kitchen, like if we're making a homemade ice cream for someone's last meal, that's going to the Creami.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm so glad.
I never thought I'd see the day. Because it's so crazy to me that you can just freeze a block of thing and throw it through a thingy thing.
It's pretty incredible. It's powerful. It's a
powerful
to be able to do that, you have to be powerful.
Powerful emotionally, powerful physically. The Ninja Creami. Not sponsored. You've never been sponsored by Ninja. Despite the fact that like I'm begging for it. I have so many of their stupid products.
Hey, Ninja, sponsor Josh in one way or another.
I use your coffee maker. I use your pans.
Come on, dude.
Got the Ninja.
SOS.
Ninja Bullet.
I'm talking to you, Ninja. SOS.
Got a Creami. There's like a lot of Ninja products that I'm using.
You're a big Ninja guy.
I use a Ninja food processor, too. It's
you do?
Great. Yeah, yeah.
I use a Cuisinart.
Cuisinart, yeah.
My mom used a Cuisinart.
Makes sense.
You know, I've always thought people that call their moms mother, I always think there's distance between
mother.
Them. Like my mother and I.
Yeah,
my mom and I.
Sure.
Do you, Logan?
Yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah.
Something about calling someone a mother instead of like, this is my mom or this is my mother, me and my mother did. I think there's like an odd, like, not to say that that's the case. It's just like this weird thing I have about like linguistics. Like, mom is like casual, close, intimate. Mother is formal, serious.
Yeah, it sounds Victorian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hands behind your back.
Hello,
shaking.
Mother.
Yeah.
You've retreated from the drawing room.
Yeah.
You've come to make your sweet corn ice cream, haven't you, mother?
You sound like Hannibal. But that is the most delicious ice cream ever. Sweet corn is such a beautiful flavor.
Yeah, put some puffed amaranth on that. I had puffed amaranth the other day kind of against my will. I didn't really want to
eat. Sounds like something indigenous.
Puffed amaranth. But
is amaranth indigenous to the U.S.?
I don't know. Logan, can you look up where amaranth is indigenous to?
Yeah.
I'd say China if I had to guess. I'd say But I puffed amaranth on ice cream, and I was like, you know what? I get it.
That sounds good.
I was at a fancy restaurant.
Because imagine sweet corn native. Is sweet corn native to?
Sweet corn certainly native to, yeah.
Okay, and then berries native.
Yeah, hondo.
Yeah, Central America, South America, and North America.
Amaranth is.
Wow.
All indigenous? You can make a...
Wow, indigenous ice cream. Sundae.
Yeah. Make a nice little, like a little squash cake.
Oh, like underneath it?
Oh, squash cake, sweet corn, ooh, berries, dude.
Or you could roast a big piece of squash and like cook it with like maple syrup and like brown sugar.
Oh, big fan of that.
And then that could be like a banana split, but a squash split.
Yeah.
And then corn ice cream and then berry.
Shoot, dude.
Yeah, you want to do that?
Oh,
later?
That'd be great. Yeah, yeah.
Let's do that.
I'm down. It takes a lot of time, dude.
Just like a big.
I don't have any food in my house.
Imagine just like a big squash that's just roasted into oblivion, but like, and there's a little chard on the inside and it's like beautifully creamy inside, like a nanner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shit. God damn.
You know what
dude.
We should do?
What's
there's
that?
Like this. Okay, I'll tell you later, actually.
All right, cool.
I don't want to talk about it right now.
That's fine.
One more.
Yeah, Logan.
For J. Cole.
For J. Cole. I went to a J. Cole concert once. Was absolutely zooted. Beyond belief.
Hi, my name is Jelena. And
great
I
name.
Guess I great read restaurant. And agree the terms listed, and you can use this voicemail for the show if you want to.
Thank you for your
cool.
consent.
Hi, Nicole and Josh.
Hi.
So my opinion is that goldfish is the best topping for vanilla bean ice cream.
Specifically. Oh, well, now we're going to have to disagree.
A lot of people crazy when I tell them this, but
yeah.
To me, like, I think about people putting cereal on ice cream and, like, no one bats an eye at that. But
no one bats an eye.
I'm insane for putting goldfish on ice cream.
Not a single eye batted.
It's, like, the perfect cheesy, crunchy combination. But it specifically has to be vanilla bean ice cream.
Mm, got the
Let
beans.
Me know what you guys think. Love the show. Thanks. Bye.
Bye, friend.
Josh is mad at you.
I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at
What's
you.
Wrong?
What?
Something happened that when they talked about goldfish.
Oh, no. I was going to have to repeat my my statement for the previous one about not enjoying. Because to me, that's like the difference between cereal and goldfish, right? It's just
cheese.
The cheddar cheese. But if it was, check this out, pretzel goldfish, they make the goldfish, mm-hmm. they're pretzels that are shaped like a goldfish, but it's under the same brand umbrella. Put those on. They ain't got no cheese. I would love that. It's the cheddar that bothers me.
You know how I would eat this? If they microplaned it. If the goldfish were microplaned over the top like a soft, cheesy snow, I think we have something. The straight up cookie? I'm sorry. The straight up cracker?
Yeah,
mm-mm.
Yeah. You know what I microplane over my ice cream? Check this out.
A nut.
A nut. I was going to say, yep, a nut.
I love microplaning nuts everywhere.
Microplane nut. I just wish, I actually, and I know a chef that did, that solved the problem. Because the problem is you're microplaning one almond at a time. You're not getting a ton of almond. It's too long.
Oh, I know what they did.
What'd they do?
They put it inside of that cheese grater that you get from Olive Garden.
What? Wait, no, that's so smart though. Could you do that?
Why not?
Hey, could you like put like almonds in a pepper grinder?
Yeah, I'm sure he could. Why not?
I don't know.
Yeah, YOLO swag.
I don't know
swag.
How pepper grinders work. I mean, I know how they work. I just like don't. I just like, are they like too big? Like, would
yeah,
you need
that's
to
what I would do.
Up?
Sorry, what
that's
would
interesting. You? No, this guy, he made like a very kind of like simple food glue, like a sugar kind of solution, and he just kind of like glued a bunch of almonds together in like a large rock,
and it makes like an almond brittle.
Yeah. So, but like it was 90% almond, right? Maybe even more. Just they're kind of held together.
Brilliant.
And then you just take this big ass, you know, this is the size of like a big ass white truffle, and just microplane that over his over his food.
That sounds really good.
Chef Jeremy Ford. He was the chef that I saw do that.
Yeah.
And I went, man, that's brilliant.
I microplane nuts every day. On my daughter's food.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice, dude.
Almost every day she eats different kinds of nuts.
There's a food that I want to make that I haven't made. And we should maybe utilize our platform to talk about this. But
I'm open.
Guys, melons these days?
Ugh. Sugar Kiss?
Oh, my God. Sugar Kiss.
Ugh. Just.
Oh, my God.
I love Sugar Kiss. It's so snappy.
It is. No fruit, I think, comes close in terms of how. Have you had a Sugar Kiss yet?
I've never had a melon.
Logan, please live a little.
I feel like you got to work your way up to the sugar. I wouldn't feel right feeding Logan.
Start with cantaloupe.
Just start with that.
Start with cantaloupe.
Logan, how'd you miss melons?
Just never wanted to eat them.
Okay, can I bring you sugar?
Yeah.
Do you have sugar kiss melons in your house?
No, Gelson's has been selling them though.
Okay, maybe we'll buy one.
Susan will call me and she'll be like, "They're at Gelson's." I'm like, "What?"
She does not sound like that.
Oh my god, they're at Gelson's.
She's not a gremlin. She's your mother-in-law.
Oh my god. Oh my god. The sugar kisses. They're back at Gelson's. Oh Jesus. Oh god. My allergies are kicking in. No, now she's Mark Goldstein from Family Guy. But no, I got sugar kisses, and then. Recently, I've been trying all the designer melons I can get my hands on. There's something called, like, Honeysaurus Rex or something.
Honeysaurus Rex?
Honeysaurus Rex? Honeydewsaurus? Something like that.
Love that name.
Nothing I've had it can touch a sugar kiss.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my God.
I love sugar kiss.
But I want to make something with sugar kiss. It'd be a waste of a sugar kiss, but that'd be fine. Because the best way to eat a sugar kiss, you just cut it and you eat it, and what an explosion.
Spoon. Yeah.
Flavor. I don't even like spoon. I cut it because I want all that juice to explode in my mouth, not in the spoon, you know? Melt in your hand, not in your mouth, whatever. But anyway, check this out. You ever heard of miel de melon?
Honey and melon?
It was like honey. It's like melon honey, they call it. But I think it's South American thing.
No.
You just juice melon and then boil it down until it's like a thick syrup and it caramelizes a little bit.
Mm.
But it's just thick melon honey.
Mm.
I want to do that with a damn sugar kiss. Dude.
Imagine that on a charcuterie board.
Dude. Imagine that on ice cream. I want to do everything with it. I want a glazed pork in it.
Oh,
I want to do everything.
I thought of prosciutto the second you said miel melon.
Shit. Mm. Might be another podcast episode. Stay tuned. If you get excited about melons like I do. Not like that.
Josh.
Head out of the gutter, baby. Head out of the gutter, baby.
Headline, Josh likes melons.
And they're not big naturals because these melons have been science to high hell by fruit genetics companies.
Josh likes mid-sized melons, everybody.
I like engineered melons. To increase yield and cellular structure.
Josh is all about that cellular structure, if you know what I mean. And on that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel so we can keep going and do fun stuff. We got new audio-only episodes on Wednesdays. And then, guess what? Same for video.
That's right. If you want to be featured on A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, call 1-833-DOG-POD-1. That is 833-DOG-POD-1. I guess the country code is 1.
Yeah, if you're calling. Do we take international calls?
I feel like we should.
Good question.
Call us. Let's see.
We got to take international
calls. Hey, if you're listening internationally, leave us a voicemail because we want to see if we can hear it later.
Have you ever heard anyone with an accent? I've heard a lot of regional American accents. Remember that time I called a guy's fraccent? I was like, you said you loved his accent. And I was like, I think he has a frat accent.
Oh.
I think it is non-regional, but more social class. And he DM'd me and was like, you are right. I'm from Connecticut.
I liked his fraccent.
Well, you know, you said you liked his accent because he's kind of like, hey, what's up? Hot dog, this sandwich. So I was just thinking like,
I like your accent.
Like, what if, check this out. Like, what if, and you were like, oh, I like your accent. It sounds like very Californian. And I was like, no, I think. It's a frat accent. I think it's a frat accent. And he DM'd me and said that he was from Connecticut, but in a frat at USC.
Oh my gosh. Wow, USC. Go Trojans.
Right on.
Bye.
Bye, friends.
Why does it feel like healthy snacking always has to taste so incredibly bad? You do not compromise in any other area of your life, so you definitely shouldn't have to compromise when it comes to your food. That's why you need to try Bavarian Meats Zero Sugar Meat Sticks. Seriously, the absolute number one feature here is great taste, zero sugar.
They completely eliminate the trade-off between nutrition and indulgence. These snack sticks are macro-friendly, guilt-free, and perfectly support an active, high-performance lifestyle by delivering 9 grams of protein per serving, zero sugar, and zero carbs. Great flavor takes time, which is why Bavarian meats are slow-smoked and naturally fermented using only real ingredients.
They are the ultimate portable solution for your daily snack cravings, allowing you to hit your nutrition goals while enjoying an amazing savory treat wherever you are.
Pick up a pack today at your local grocer or stock up at BavarianMeats.com/podcast. Use code HOTDOG10 at checkout for 10% off your first order. Bavarian meat snack sticks. Great taste. Zero sugar.